Welcome to the Cato Weekly Digest for the week of June 22, June 28, 2026. I'm talking about the week AI stopped being abundant and started being allocated. Layla, good to have you here.
Good to be back. And yeah, allocated is the right word. Not rationed in the dramatic sense yet, but the machinery is absolutely there.
Let's start with its clearest signal, GPT-5.6. OpenAI reportedly packaged it into three tiers, Sol, Terra, and Luna. Frontier capability, balanced work, cheap volume inference. That is not a product launch. That is a market design event.
And the distribution story is wilder than the tiers. Restricted trusted partner previews, possibly customer-by-customer White House approval for some access. That is not how you ship SaaS.
Right. My read is that Frontier AI is starting to look more like cloud infrastructure with a security clearance than a subscription product. The valuable thing is not the model. It is the right to use the right model, at the right price, inside the right guardrail, for the right task.
I want to push back on how settled that read is, though. Cloud products routinely start with waitlists. Enterprise software ships to trusted customers first. If inference gets cheaper and safety cases standardized, access could open back up in 6 months.
Fair. That is the honest counter. But here's what makes this week different from a normal waitlist. OpenAI says Sol can identify bugs and exploit browser primitives without autonomously producing full-chain exploits under tested conditions. That language matters. It makes release control sound like threshold management, not marketing caution.
And that is where my safety ceiling framework gets its sharpest edge this week. The safety ceiling, the maximum competitive disadvantage a company can absorb for responsible AI before market pressure bends the principle, used to look like a break on capability. Then it became a sales claim. This week, it became a sorting system.
Say more.
A restricted preview can be read as caution. It can also be read as market design. Trusted users first, risky users later, dangerous work behind gates. That may be responsible. It may also mean safety language is now deciding who gets capacity, speed, and leverage. Those are very different things.
And if you are a hospital IT director trying to figure out which model can touch patient data, which team gets the expensive tier, which foreign office loses access if Washington changes the rules, you feel that difference immediately.
That is exactly the person I kept thinking about this week. Nobody in that story is anti-AI. That is what makes it hard. The tool has been bought, now someone has to ration it.
Okay, let's move to the control plane story because it connects directly. Anthropic put Claude inside Slack, shared channels, scoped identity, memory boundaries, token limits, admin controls. And they claim Claude merges 65% of Claude Code product pull requests.
That proof point is doing real work, not our agent is smart. Instead, our own workflow already depends on it. That is a different claim entirely.
OpenAI's internal Codex numbers add the same lesson. Research median output tokens rose 56 times since late last year. But the interesting part is not the token volume. It is that even inside OpenAI, adoption needed habits, permissions, work surfaces, and organizational fit before it spread.
Google forming an AI coding strike team specifically to catch Anthropic fits the same pattern. Coding assistants are becoming the wedge into broader office automation. The race is not just model quality, it's who owns the surface where work happens.
Codex Record and Replay turns one human demo into an inspectable, reusable skill. Cursor lets users describe an automation and have the system set the triggers. GitHub added usage metrics, CLI surfaces for issues, pull requests, skills, plugins. These are not feature sprinkles. They are the machinery that turns one-off prompts into governed, repeatable work.
Here's my standing challenge on this though, Cato. A control plane can be scaffolding around immature models, not a durable moat. If models get dramatically better at tool use and identity layers standardize quickly, some of today's admin surfaces become commodity plumbing.
I buy the caution. But even plumbing is valuable when every enterprise needs it. The real question is whether Slack, GitHub, AWS, and Microsoft absorb this layer, or whether a new control plane vendor class gets to stand on its own.
And the human sitting inside that control plane, the access administrator, the person saying, not that model, not that data, not that country, not at that price, she either gets real authority, or she just gets a better dashboard for absorbing blame.
That is a sharp way to put it. Let's talk about cost pressure, because the model market story is easy to flatten into open versus closed. This week showed something more useful.
Work is being routed by cost, privacy, latency, risk, and task shape. Those are five different variables, not one.
Together, AI says its cloud processed 400 trillion tokens this month, up from 30 billion at the same point last year. One hospital software company reportedly moved work to a model described as 23 times cheaper than advanced options. The CFO does not care whether that is architecturally elegant.
And routers like Not Diamond claim 20 to 40% savings in some coding workloads by sending easier work to cheaper models. That is not a philosophical choice about open source. That is a spreadsheet decision.
GPT 5.6 did not reverse this split. It gave the split an official shape. Sol stretches the frontier. Terra and Luna push routine inference down market. Even the Frontier Lab is now selling a routing answer.
Which means the company that owns the router between expensive and cheap may be better positioned than either the Frontier model or the budget model. That is the economic tell.
Now, compute. The landlord's bet kept holding this week, but Layla, you flagged the warning label pretty hard.
The landlord's bet, the wager that AI's value lives in physical infrastructure and operational control, not just model intelligence, got power, water, memory chips, foundry redundancy, and data center debt this week. All real. But the contrarian case is strong.
Give me the numbers first.
GPT-3 scale training needed roughly 4 to 10 megawatts. Grok-3 is estimated at 150 to 200 megawatts. 2030 frontier runs could need 4 to 16 gigawatts if scaling continues. And cooling adds a second constraint. Open-loop systems can use water on the scale of 30,000 to 50,000 people.
Apple reportedly raised prices on Macs, iPads, HomePods because AI data centers are driving memory and storage shortages. Samsung reportedly planning $648 billion of South Korea investment. Chips, AI data centers, batteries, displays, new foundries. That is corporate CapEx behaving like industrial policy.
And Morgan Stanley steering data center developers toward leveraged loans. Reflection reportedly committing $150 million per month to SpaceX's Colossus 2 compute. The debt doesn't disappear if confidence leaks slowly instead of popping dramatically.
So the bear case.
The bear case is not that AI demand is fake. The better bear case is that every actor can be rational, buying optionality, diversifying foundries, funding power, securing memory, and the system still wakes up with too much expensive capacity if margins and utilization don't mature fast enough. Telecom fiber had real demand. Solar had real demand. Rational bets can still add up to a glut.
And that glut does not stay inside the industry. It shows up in device prices, utility fights, local water stress, school district negotiations. A town deciding whether to host a data center is not debating a benchmark.
It's deciding whether water, power, tax revenue, jobs, noise, and future rate hikes belong in the same bargain. That is a municipal decision with generational consequences.
Geopolitics. The chip story widened well past NVIDIA export controls this week. X-Lite seeking $350 million for an alternative EUV lithography laser path backed by U.S. Commerce. Google and NVIDIA reportedly considering Intel as a backup manufacturer. Not because Intel beats TSMC, but because credible redundancy has value when geopolitics tightens.
And China is the forcing function. Beijing's AI plus consumption plan pushes AI into shops, clinics, classrooms, daily commerce. DeepSeek's reported $7.4 billion raise after Anthropic's Mythos preview is the capital market response to frontier threat perception.
The tempting Western frame is whose model scores higher on benchmarks. That is too narrow. The live competition is whose stack can turn capability into use. Power, memory, foundries, cheap inference, deployment policy, local commerce, export controls, and cloud software.
Two futures here, Cato. In one, permissioned U.S. frontier systems win because enterprises and governments pay for trust, audit, indemnity, and security. In the other, cheaper Chinese and open systems become good enough across enough workflows that the trust premium starts looking like a tax.
And the structure that decides between those futures is not model quality alone. It is whether regulated buyers value assurance more than speed and price.
If U.S. frontier releases become more permissioned while Chinese systems keep shipping broadly, the gap to watch may be deployment speed, not leaderboard rank.
Okay, the human counter arc. Because the week was full of agents that obey, rote, repeat, optimize. And the strongest countercurrent ran in exactly the opposite direction.
The Lennon-McCartney frame from Cannes Lions. And it was not nostalgia. It named a missing feature in a lot of AI collaboration thinking. Lennon and McCartney were valuable to each other because they argued, they resisted, they complicated the work.
Claude's argument-shaped prose failed in a related way. It could reproduce the rhythm of insight without the accountability that makes a claim trustworthy, the form without the stakes.
Andres Cantor trains his voice for the World Cup like an athlete trains a muscle. The famous call matters because repetition, strain, and shared memory made it ritual. That is not replicable by volume alone.
On Malik's death, an internet built around trust, help, and human continuity rather than pure distribution. The Wizards fandom piece treating hope as an emotional portfolio that only pays if you stay long enough to feel the rare turn.
These are not anti-AI arguments. They are taste arguments. Obedient output is useful, but collaboration, judgment, craft, and trust often come from refusal, delay, memory, and earned texture. The more AI makes smooth output abundant, the more visible those older assets become.
And the verification tax, your framework, it did not go away this week. It got productized.
The verification tax is the burden placed on humans who must check, debug, and absorb AI outputs without matching authority, time, pay, or protection. This week, Daybreak not just finding vulnerabilities, but validating, patching, testing, asking for human approval. Firefox shipping hundreds of security fixes by wrapping agents in scoring, fuzzing, verification, sub-agents, and human review. GitHub telemetry moving the same tax into developer infrastructure.
The tax did not vanish. It got built into the product.
And it moved upstream. Someone has to decide which work is allowed to happen at all. That is still labor. It is work to design usage caps. It is work to explain why a team gets downgraded to a cheaper model. It is work to review an agent log after 9 hours and decide whether the result counts.
The redundancy floor, where are you keeping it?
Still on monitor. The redundancy floor is the level below which AI makes human workers permanently surplus. This week still did not give clean displacement evidence. It gave the machinery before the displacement. Routing, budgets, permissions, logs, cheaper tiers, work surface control. First, the company limits expensive model use. Then it learns which tasks move to cheaper systems. Then it redesigns the workflow. By the time the layoff arrives, the real decision may be months old.
That is how it arrives in white collar work. Not a single announcement. A quiet series of administrative choices.
And my open question going into next week, when AI access becomes something institutions ration, do we give the access administrator real authority or just a better dashboard for carrying blame?
The whole week points at one thing. The next phase of AI competition is less about who has intelligence and more about who can ration it without making users feel rationed. Ration too tightly. Chinese models, open weights, and cheaper tiers eat the edge. Ration too loosely. Security failures, political backlash, and local infrastructure costs eat the institution. The companies and states that solve that balance own the next map. Until next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you soon.